Welcome to the Chris and Rob Sunshine Power Hour. Yes, the show may be 2 hours long, but that's so Chris and Rob can squeeze in twice the sunshiny goodness. To be on tonight's action-packed program, just call 513-749-1444. That number again, 513-749-1444. Call now. And now, for those two beacons of sunshine in an otherwise bleak talk radio universe, the two and only Chris and Rob.
So as I was saying, in a little bit, we're going to play the most beautiful song ever written.
You're such a sissy.
No, I'm not. I got an ear for melody. I have an ear for melody.
Yeah, but you're crying. You're sitting around your house crying like some kind of big Nancy boy.
It's all right. You know, it's about the music, you know? It's about the music and the feeling and the emotion.
Dude, crying is like watching dirty movies. You don't do it by yourself at night in the dark.
Really?
It's a public thing. You get together with your friends and family and cry.
And you just have a big cry together?
Of course. Why do you want to cry by yourself?
Jim Tarbell, how many times do you get together with all your other city council members and you sit around and have a big cry together? Hey, Alicia, come over here and lean on my shoulder.
That's pretty much on a daily basis.
Hey, we got Jim Tarbell on the phone, and I'm sure most of our listeners are thrilled to know that because Jim Tarbell is the coolest member of the Cincinnati City Council. There's other cool members, but none quite as cool as Jim Tarbell. Welcome to the show.
I heard a quote today from somebody who had not lived here too long but went back home to visit the family and said that Cincinnati had lots and lots of cool things, but not lots and lots of cool people.
What are we going to do about that, Jim? There's just three of us, you, me, and Rob.
I know. We got a lot of work to do. We got to catch up with the cool things, you know. I guess we're going to have to import a few or convert a few, one or the other.
Well, let me tell you something that's cool about Cincinnati, and this happened to me Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
WCIN is the only radio station in town that still takes requests and plays them on the radio.
Hmm.
You know Q102 doesn't take requests and play them on the radio anymore.
I'll tell you why, because this is how WCIN got started. When I was about 13, that would have been about 1955, or we didn't talk about that, but I would come home in the afternoon, turn on the radio, 1480 on the dial, and I'd hear, "This is Bugs Scruggs, the man with the plugs. I'm back on the scene with my record machine." That's the way that station got started. And when he wasn't there, little Abraham was there doing gospel stuff and screaming bloody murder and playing outrageous music that, you know, a little white kid in Hyde Park had went, "Whoa, what is that?" And that started my love affair, a long time. So CIN is a friend indeed to me.
Well, listen, Mr. Tarbell, we called you tonight for two reasons.
Yeah.
The first reason is we want to talk about these damn cameras you guys are going to put all over town.
It's terrible.
But the second reason, we're going to get to that camera thing in just a minute, but the second reason is something that's actually bugging me a little bit because I didn't hear about it until tonight. Mm-hmm. About 5 minutes before the radio show went on, somebody said to me, "Hey, did you hear about Jim Tarbell?" I said, "What about Jim Tarbell?" He said, "He almost got beat up and mugged the other night. Are you okay?"
I'm emotionally distraught, but otherwise I'm fine.
I heard that you came face to face with a switchblade the size of Jaws the Shark.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Well, tell us what happened and what's City Council going to do about this crime wave?
Well, it was not really a big deal. I think it was kind of a big deal because there was a chase that ensued, and it got real interesting over a period of about a half an hour. It was enough time for all of the Christmas crime fighting undercover task force to come out, and before it was all over, we had what appeared to be housewives, truck drivers, and there wasn't a Santa. I was waiting for Santa to come out, but all involved in the chase. So it got to be kind of interesting. But it started out in, there's an alley runs between Poppy's, which is this little kind of little throwback nifty little lunch place on Elm Street.
I've had sandwiches at Poppy's before. You can get an orange crush there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Neat place. And we go back and forth there from City Hall on a regular basis down this alley called Weaver Alley. And it's not you know, it's not a big deal. It's a nice alley. It's got brick pavers and some nice buildings, and it's not real dark. And, you know, it's very handy. You just walk out City Hall and go straight down the alley to Elm Street. And so I had a nice lunch and was going back for a meeting, and these guys decided that they were going to, you know, they wanted to share in my wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard this voice behind me saying, give me your money. And I turned around, and there was this young man, I mean, just really young. I thought, very young. I thought, too young.
Mm-hmm.
Too young to be messing around with me and a knife. And so I looked at him, I said, are you kidding? I mean, that's all I could think of, because it really seemed kind of just weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem real serious. And he didn't say anything. I turned around and walked away toward City Hall, and he, you know, I felt this presence behind me. I turned around, and he was still there coming behind me. And I said, you know, you could really get in trouble doing this kind of thing.
You're the only dude I can think of that talks back to a mugger. You could be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and he still wasn't moved. And I said, do you know who I am?
Does this kid read the... Maybe this kid doesn't read the papers or eat an orange.
No, I was... That's why I'm so emotionally distraught that he didn't know who I was, you know. Completely blew my career.
So immediately you said, next time I'm up for election, make sure you vote for me.
That's right.
What the hell? Jim Tarbell. Right? Did you give him a button?
Right. No, I didn't have a button. That's what threw the whole thing off.
I've still got your button, by the way.
Yeah, okay, well, good.
Yeah.
Well, I could have used it that day.
I ain't giving it up. It's right there next to my Nixon for president and my Jesse Jackson for president button.
Oh, shoot. I won't comment on that. There's some, you know, there was a Nixon button that was very famous for the slogan, but we can't talk about that on the air.
Right.
So I just kept walking. I thought, you know, maybe I better pick up the pace here a little bit, and which I did. And then a few, just matter of seconds later, there were a couple coming the other way. And I think perhaps, you know, he noticed them coming. That kind of dissuaded him, and he kind of backed up. He had two other guys with him, but they were behind him about 15 feet. And so they retreated to the head of the alley on Elm, and I didn't have a cell phone, and so I asked the folks that were coming towards me if they had a cell phone, could I use it, because these guys were trying to rob me. And so they said, okay. So I called the police. And what seemed like about 3 days and about maybe about 12 hours later, this guy arrived at 9th and Elm, and it wasn't, of course, that long, but it just seems that way in a situation like that. And so I told him what was going on, and he said, well, let's go for a little ride. I'd seen the direction the guys went, and I got a real good look at the kid, the main guy. So I thought, if I see him again, I'll recognize him. So we did a tour, you know, many trips around the block without any success. Decided to go to a certain shopping area downtown in a big building, and where there are a lot of people. Just on the off chance that maybe these guys went in there, it was raining,
okay,
and maybe to kind of, you know, just kind of get cover and meld into the masses. And parked on 4th Street, walked into the building, and to make a long story short, about a minute or so later, maybe about 100 feet into the building, I'm behind a big pillar, and I look, you know, on the other side of the pillar, and here comes this old sweetheart with his two accomplices, and I came out from behind the pillar, because the police officer was maybe 20 feet behind me, and into his path, and he just fell right into my arms. I think there was a music, there's a song written somewhere about this incident, but I can't recall it. And I just said, you know, maybe you better just stay right here until the officer, I think the officer wants to talk to you.
Oh,
and he did. He just stayed there, and the officer came up. The other two guys took off.
Uh-oh.
And since the one guy was covered, I thought, well, I'll just follow them so I can see where they go, and the other police get there, I can tell them. And they weren't going fast. I caught up with them, and I said, you know, you guys, I think, go back there with your buddy, appealing to their social conscience that they had left their buddy stranded. And they did. They turned around and followed me and back to the scene, and So they're standing there, we're standing there, and they kind of rocking on their feet, and they're going, well, what are we doing here? And I said, well, I think the officer wants to talk to you. And they said, oh, we don't think so. And anyway, they ran, and I hadn't had my morning constitutional that morning, which is really what this is all about. I just needed to have some exercise so I could, Mrs. Tarbell, I could hold my head up to Mrs. Tarbell when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
So I ran out to Fifth Street and followed them down the Vine. Meantime, all the Christmas undercover task force plainclothes guys around, I mean, they were, you know, there was window washers, housewives, truck drivers, all undercover police officers. And anyway, make a long story short, they were about 5 blocks away that caught those two guys.
Well, but you're safe and sound, right?
I think so.
And you didn't get knifed or anything, so everything's cool.
Yeah.
How big was the knife?
It was not big. It was a pocket knife, you know, maybe about 3 or 4 inches. And
were you wearing a heavy coat?
I was wearing a top coat. I mean, I was classic. You know, I had my fedora and my top coat. It was right out of Mickey Spillane.
That's why we love you, Jim Tarbell. That's why I vote for you every time, because you're the fashion candidate.
And you can't rob a guy wearing a top coat with a 2-inch, 3-inch pocket knife.
Now, these stories go around. They get embellished as they go around.
Yeah.
But, you know, the version of the story I heard was that these guys were thugs. They had a knife the size of a machete. They were ready to take your head off. You fought back like Rambo. You know, all of a sudden a SWAT team shows up. It's like some kind of freaking Robert De Niro movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's all true. It's all true.
Okay.
I'm just too busy for Hollywood to come calling right now, so
okay.
I'm trying to play it down.
Well, let's move on to the second half of our topic here. We're talking to Jim Tarbell. He's the world-famous Cincinnati city councilman, former owner of Arnold's Restaurant, which I still like to go to.
I was there tonight. You know, they're doing the reindeer monologues there right now.
Really?
No Theater Tribe. For the second, maybe the third, but at least the second year in a row, at Christmas time, we're doing the reindeer monologues, and they are fantastic. They're there tonight, and they're sold out tomorrow night, and they're going to be playing again next week, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and it's terrific. They took over the courtyard outside at Arnold's.
And, that's a nice little courtyard, too, when it's not raining.
Yeah. Well, it's covered now.
When it's raining, though, it still gets a little damp out there.
It's covered and heated. Well, they got that solved.
Did they?
Covered and heated, and it's marvelous. And
I was there in a thunderstorm once.
A tornado warning, right?
Well, you were with me, Rob. Yeah, we were down there. There was a tornado warning. This was a couple years ago. Tornado warning, a thunderstorm, and Ricky Nye was playing.
Hey, it doesn't get better than that.
And halfway through Ricky's set, boom, here comes the rain and the hurricane, and it was a tornado and everything else. All hell broke loose.
It doesn't. That's the place to be, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Very romantic.
Okay, but let's move on to the second half of the conversation.
All right.
And again, we're talking to Jim Tarbell here on the Chris and Rob Show, WAIF. It's 10 minutes until 11.
Right.
And here's Rob with our gripe of the week.
Uh-oh.
Dude, what's going on with the cameras? Why, if you guys can't clean the snow off the street without having to resort to taking money from the citizens who want to, no one wants to go downtown anyway.
No, not downtown. You won't see it downtown because speeding is not a problem downtown.
And where are they going to put these things?
On the suburbs, I bet.
They'll put them in the trouble spots that we get calls about all the time. You know, people are calling up saying we can't get out of our driveway, can't get out of our street, we can't go to church, you know, and or we want speed humps, et cetera, et cetera. It's gotten out of hand. The whole technology of automobile driving is so nuts nowadays that even those of us who would always prefer to have a body there in the midst of all this have acceded to this approach to doing business. And what kind of sold me was that a fellow from Cincinnati who was engineer for Cincinnati went to Washington, and he's engineered there now. And he's a very, very smart and artistic and conscientious guy that I have the utmost respect for. And he said it really has changed things dramatically in Washington. One thing is the police aren't really engaged in this kind of policing as much anymore. They're always put in the role of a bad guy when they have to stop people in person and get into all kinds of arguments. number one. Number two, there are just other things like the Violent Crimes Task Force and so forth, where they're getting more attention. So that's one thing. The other is that you, in certain spots, the manpower requirements are extraordinary, and it's just not proving to be very effective with the amount of abuse that's going on. So that's why this was created, and it has made a huge difference there. What's interesting is
so Washington D.C. is safe now. You're saying,
well, not safe.
It's safe to drive around in. It's safe to be a pedestrian.
Traffic deaths have diminished dramatically. So have accidents. And you know, while there was a surge in tickets and ticket writing, so to speak, when it first started, that has diminished considerably as well. And so, you know, it just resulted in things being better all the way around, and people are being more careful now, and they're not getting as many tickets.
Well, let me see if I got this straight, Mr. Tarbell.
Yeah.
City Council is going to sponsor putting up cameras at certain street corners and intersections around town to look for speeders and people who run stop signs, and they're going to take a picture of the license plate, then they're going to send you a ticket in the mail,
right.
And this is being done for the reasons of raising money for city government, not for reasons of public safety.
Snow removal.
It's all for the snow removal,
it
right?
In the case of Washington, I'm not sure about some of the other cities, there are 40 cities that are doing it. And there are cities like Portland, San Diego, Denver, et cetera.
You know, if Portland jumped off a bridge, would Cincinnati jump off a bridge, too?
Yeah. And also, when you guys send me a thing in the mail saying that you took a picture of my car at the intersection of Martin Luther King and Victory Parkway, and then I'm going to say, well, wait a minute. How do I know my dad was borrowing the car that day? Or I let my girlfriend borrow the car. Or my sister took the car out for a spin and got some gas for me. And how are you going to be able to prove that I was driving that automobile and not someone else? I hope everyone contests these tickets. Because these tickets aren't right. This is fascism. This is Big Brother. This is future technology keeping the common man down. Respond to that, Jim Tarbell.
Yeah.
Here, here. He's silent now.
My friend in Washington is a borderline socialist, and that's what convinced me. He felt that it really had the good far outweighed the bad.
But really, you can't prove who's driving a car, so how can this thing stand up in court? If somebody challenges it in court, it seems like they're going to win.
Here, here.
You're allowed to challenge it in court. But another part of this that's I think significant is you don't get points. You know, you'll get a fine, but you don't get points.
Oh, see, that's what they're doing to make it digestible.
Yeah.
Oh, well, your insurance company's not going to know about it, right?
Yeah.
No, points or no points? Is the insurance company going to find out about it?
I don't know.
It's public record. They'd have to.
If it's
to,
public
it?
Record, the insurance record. Company and your rates are going to go up.
Find out about
and
it.
If you got insurance rates like I do, you can't afford for them to go up anymore.
I guess the main thing is just don't horse around in speed. I guess.
Where are we talking about? What intersections are we talking about?
It's to be determined. It'll be the places where the most abuse is.
It's not going to be a secret, though, is it?
Oh, no, I don't think it'll be. This is not where you try to sneak up on somebody. I mean, they'll publicize it. They have to.
Right. I would think they would have to.
Yeah.
But I still don't like the whole idea of cameras. It's bad enough that they got cameras at shopping malls and public places like that, and of course they're privately owned, so you know, if I want to put a camera in my house, I can because I own my house. But if these people at these shopping malls or these baseball stadiums or whatever have cameras every 5 feet to take pictures of everybody, and you feel like you can't protect your privacy anymore and stuff like that, and that's all fine and everybody gets upset about it, but this is even worse because now they're going to send you a ticket in the mail, and when I get one, and I will eventually, I will contest it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, even if I'm lying, I might say, well, I don't know. I think I let my old man borrow the car that day. Or maybe my little sister took the car out, or I needed to get some gas. I let my neighbor go fill it up in the tank for me.
And how's a camera catch somebody speeding? How's this work?
It takes pictures, and you get a picture in the mail of the, you know, of the location and the date, time, and place.
Yeah, but how's it? I mean, is it a video camera and it's going to clock your speed, or how's it going to catch you speeding?
Yeah, it's just like radar, but the thing is, it's, you know, you don't have, instead of it being stopped by an individual, it's no different.
Well, we all know that radar is horribly inaccurate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we don't know. So far, the feedback we're getting, I think Washington's about 10 years into this, and it's been accepted by the public, and it's been very effective. So, since they may be different, I don't know if people just rebel horribly. I guess we won't pursue it, but I have a sense it's probably going to be okay.
Yeah, but you got the public in Cincinnati is stupid. And you know that. You can't go by them.
Yeah, well, automobiles are, you know, such a menace. They've just, they've thrown things off so much in this society, especially in the U.S. of A. You know, they're, and it just, it provokes these kind of difficult decisions, but I don't know what else to do.
I concur that automobiles are, have really changed the society, not always to the better. And for some reason, I don't know, it seems like the city is all about some public transportation, but you get a little bit away from the city, and boy, they're not into that at all.
I was in a gas station on Sunday gassing up, and this guy came in with a truck.
Gassing up.
Bigger than the city of Columbus. You know, I thought, what are you doing? He had his girlfriend in there, you know, and they were rocking. But it was a pickup truck, for God's sake, but it was bigger than the city of Columbus.
They were rocking?
They were rocking, you know, they had the radio up, and they were, you know, man, this is it, you know.
Yeah.
And they were looking down on me like I was an ant. And I'm looking up at them going, what are you doing? You only need to get from point A to point B, and don't you know what Emerson said? The shortest distance between two points, the taxi. You don't need a $45,000 truck bigger than the city of Columbus.
Now, if these cameras catch a guy like smoking reefer,
they probably had two more at home. You know what I mean? And I was out in the country the other day. There was about six. I counted about six houses that had six automobiles in a house that only holds two people. You had to go outside to change your mind. They had more cars in the house than the size of the house.
When you sit around the house, you sit around the house.
You know, at World War II, the boys came back from the war. We had newfound wealth, you know, and all the spoils of the war. And we started building roads because Eisenhower, as you know, fancied Hitler's ability to move troops and so forth. That's a whole lot of the reason why those roads were built. We didn't need those roads to get from point A to point B. And a lot of those roads were just built for the wrong reasons, but they were built. And then we built the cars to go with them. We took tracks, trolleys off of tracks and put them on rubber tires. And, you know, half the romance went out the window. We threw them in the gutter. Now in San Francisco, they are buying track trolleys from all over the world, vintage ones, restoring them, putting them back on the tracks. They did it initially as a tourist thing, you know, for San Francisco. But it's become such a hoot, such a popular thing that the commuters are using them.
Well, and San Francisco, sort of like Cincinnati, but even more so as far, you can't walk anywhere because it's straight uphill. You can't go five blocks in San Francisco without being exhausted. So they really need just a thing you can hop on and hop off.
Rob, there's no fat people in San Francisco. You're a fat guy, so you would run out of...
No, you ding-dong. I mean, if you had ever left your buddy's house in a haze of... Ruffians, and San Francisco is a very hilly city.
Well, yeah, but there's no fat people in San Francisco because they all walk up hills, as opposed to you, who sit on a couch all day and eat popcorn.
Or you just sit in the living room getting weeded out with your hippie friends.
I talked to a guy today who's a lawyer, and one of his lawyer buddies is trying a case where the people are suing because they were working in a factory. And the butter scent gave him histoplasmosis or something.
Wow! What's histoplasmosis? Is that when you eat too much butter?
Too much from the scent from butter flavor. It's out of control, and it's all because of the automobile.
It's good.
Yeah,
butter's good.
One last question, Jim Tarbell. Then we're going to let you get back to whatever you were doing before we called you on the talk show. Who's going to be our next mayor?
Who?
Yeah, you know, I met Alicia Reese this weekend for the first time.
Did you?
I was having breakfast at this little joint up in Springdale, and she walks in, and she's sitting there all by herself. So I walked up, and I said, hello, are you Alicia Reese? And she looked up, and she said in that sweet, sultry voice that she had, she said, yeah. And I said, well, I'm a big fan of your show on cable TV. I watch it every week.
Mm-hmm.
And she laughed, because that's really just the feat of the city council meetings that she gets to be the leader of, which I know she loves to do. And then I asked her if she wanted to be on a radio show, and she said she'd be on sometime, and we'll probably call her in a couple of weeks. And
yeah.
We still like you better, though.
Good. Did you ask her what she was doing in Springdale? Did she have a passport? what the heck no, was I she
don't know.
Doing in
She was eating breakfast. I don't know what she was. She had her little Palm Pilot, and she was tapping on her Palm Pilot, and she was ordering, like, eggs or something. I don't know what she eats. She was eating some breakfast.
Fine, how do you do? I hope she had permission.
I hope so, too.
She should be sitting. She should be in Cincinnati eating.
She should have been eating breakfast at Arnold's.
Well, would it be that they had breakfast? We had breakfast there one time. It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We made our own biscuits.
Wow.
Had Averill sausage,
ooh,
fresh squeezed orange juice, fresh fruit salad that I made with my own little hands every morning. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful, but nobody ate it.
Wow. When are you going to have Rob and I down for Chris and Rob night at Arnold's and feed us for free?
Well, I don't own Arnold's anymore.
I know, but you got pull down there. You got pull. They know
pull.
Who you are.
But that's a wonderful idea. The Chris and Rob show comes to Arnold's.
Yeah, and you could make us some spaghetti and meatball. I love the spaghetti and meatballs down there and the chili and all the other fine dishes that you guys serve.
Remote broadcast.
Yeah, and you could feed us and we could talk about how wonderful it is and then the people will flock in. Both of our listeners will come down.
We need to go get Bug Scruggs, who's still living.
Yeah.
And bring him down there. Little Abraham's still living, too. He's still preaching.
Really?
Absolutely. And he's still little.
Jim, I'll have my people call your people, and we'll put this project together.
You do it.
You're the best. Jim Tarbell, what the hell? We're voting for you for mayor, whether you run or not.
Okay, you guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Be more safe in the alleys downtown.
All right. I'll do it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right.
That's Jim Tarbell, Cincinnati City Councilman, former restaurateur of Arnold's downtown, which I hope to dine at again quite soon.
Coming up in the second hour of the Chris and Rob Show.